I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Track FC, your concise yet comprehensive thrice-a-week show. It's football, fast, no faff, no rambling intros. Let's get started.
We're on the turn. Oh, what a hit! What a sensational hit from Mateus Cunha!
Okay, it's getting a bit weird now. Michael Carrick has had two games in charge of Manchester United. They were against two of the three title contenders. We're here for you, Aston Villa. And he's won them both. He's beaten Arsenal at the Emirates. No one's done that this season. And while no one would argue that they tore the Gunners apart in the same way they did Manchester City, and they pulled three goals out of 0.71 XG, it sort of doesn't matter. The thing that's really bothered United fans over the last decade or so isn't that United aren't winning titles. It's that they haven't felt like a United side. I know that this sort of thing can be over-egged, but if football clubs do have a personality, then Manchester United's is Begbie from Trainspotting.
Well, the game was mine.
They're supposed to be aggressive. They're supposed to be fast. They're supposed to be fearless. And they haven't been for ages. But all of a sudden, they're starting to look like themselves again. All of which begs the question that we kind of saw coming about a fortnight ago. What now? What do you do when the caretaker manager does really well? We can ask Celtic if you like. They've got some experience in that department. For me, United can't start the recovery process until there's stability. They'll be fine for now. Confidence has soared. There's a good run of fixtures coming up too. Fulham, Tottenham, West Ham, Everton, Palace. They could make fourth place their own by the start of March. But then what? Because given that the people who run that club are not exactly James Bond, stories will start leaking. Stories about meetings with Thomas Tuchel or Oliver Glasner or Xabi Alonso, and the dressing room will notice and heads will turn or drop, and some players might say, well, why should I listen to you, Michael Carrick? You won't be here in a month or so. Is it time, then, for Manchester United to say, we didn't do this on purpose, but we might just have chanced upon a decent managerial team. Let's give them an 18-month contract and see how it goes. Daniel Story is a chief football correspondent for The Eye. Daniel, what do you think?
I think what we're seeing at Manchester United now, in a very simple way, is what supporters had already asked for anyway. Carrick isn't exactly reinventing the wheel by getting Kobbie Mainoo in midfield, by getting pace around the central striker, about playing players in positions where we know they are experts, not out of position, going to the back four that supporters had screamed for ages. So in that sense, I guess we need to be slightly careful of Carrick merely doing what was expected. But the two wins against the top two in the Premier League are more than expected, and therefore are bigger than just a managerial bounce, I think. Look, if Carrick wins 12 of Manchester United's next 15 games to end the season and they finish second or third in the Premier League, then it's going to be really hard not to appoint him. And probably they shouldn't avoid appointing him just to do something different. But Carrick also hasn't done enough yet to suggest that he wants the job. And we know with Manchester United that there is a very obvious recent example of them backing an interim and it then slightly falling away and leaving them 2 years behind where they wanted to be. It all depends on A, how Carrick does at the end of the season, because replacing Ruben Amorim was probably the easiest job in football, and replacing a really successful interim coach isn't easy. And also which managers they're in the ear of and believe they can appoint and believe are better than, we must remember, albeit with a Manchester United connection, a guy who got sacked by Middlesbrough in the Championship.
Daniel was at the Portsmouth-Southampton game on Sunday that ended 1-1 and it got a bit tasty. His account of it is in the Eye tomorrow, so look out for that. Elsewhere in late drama land.
Thrown in by Hill, and there's danger here. It could go anywhere. It's gone in the Liverpool goal. Bournemouth have won it late on.
Yes, Liverpool are now without a win in the league since December 27th, and that was only a nervy victory against Wolves. They didn't deserve one at the Vitality Stadium, they didn't defend well, they didn't make enough good chances. It was a real step backwards after their impressive performance in Marseille in midweek. Now, once again, talk of sacking a man who won the title last season seems more ruthless than is necessary, but we are fast approaching a point where the Premier League campaign, it's really just a desperate scramble for 4-4-5th and a hope that the spirit of 2005 can be invoked in the Champions League. Now, I did ask Lola Katz-Roberts for a voice note, but she just sent 4.5 minutes of screaming and what sounded like expensive furniture being destroyed. It was really quite harrowing. Dr. Tottenham was making house calls again this weekend, and he very nearly cured Burnley of their long winless run, denied only by Sergio Romero's late equaliser. Now, if it's true that you can sense the real mood of a club by listening to their travelling fans, Frank hasn't got long left. Alongside the usual sacked in the morning stuff was a song celebrating the fact that they are staying up, and most damningly, one that goes sideways and backwards everywhere we go in recognition of their aimless football. Now, I don't think Slot's going. I don't think Frank is going just yet. But what about Oliver Glasner? Crystal Palace were beaten comfortably by Chelsea on Sunday. Palace are still without a win since December the 7th. And Glasner did a lot of post-match applauding. You know, all four corners, lots of lingering looks, that sort of thing. We'll keep an eye on that. Good win for Chelsea, though. Aston Villa did something that they haven't done since 2005. They beat Newcastle at St James's Park, and yes, that means it's 21 years since this happened.
Oh, there's a fight going on here between two Newcastle players. Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer are having a fight. Goodness me, what on earth is going on? I have never seen such a thing.
No such drama this time, just the 8th defeat of a very frustrating, very stop-start season for Newcastle. West Ham were, I don't get to say this very often, absolutely brilliant against Sunderland on Saturday, who for their part were miles off their usual levels. Their 3-1 win closed the gap on Forest and the safety of 17th to just 2 points. But then on Sunday, Forest beat Brentford, and so the gap is back to 5 points. Harry Wilsenio has done it again. The 28-year-old Welsh international scored his 8th goal of the season, a sensational long-range free-kick winner to help Fulham see off Brighton. And Wilsenio is out of contract at the end of the season. The word is that he wants clarification on manager Marco Silva's future before he makes any sort of decision. And given that he's 28, he's in the form of his life, and this is probably going to be his last big contract, that does seem entirely fair. It would be great for him to stay with Fulham, but if he doesn't choose that path, I hope he takes the opportunity to go somewhere interesting, maybe even abroad, rather than succumbing to the temptation to Danny Drinkwater himself on the fringes of a Big Six team. Just 1 win in 10 for Brighton now, though. Their season is in danger of draining away. And finally, Manchester City got themselves back on track with a 2-0 win over Wolves. That ended their 5-game unbeaten streak. And of course, it means that City are now just 4 points back from the Gunners with 15 games to go. So I can start mentioning that 7-1 bet I've gotten them for the title again. Villa, it should be said, have the same number of points as City. They're both on 46. Arsenal are on 50. The rest of the top six reads Man United 38, Chelsea 37, Liverpool 36. And at the bottom of the table, it's Wolves on 8, Burnley on 15, West Ham on 20, and then Forest on 25. Leeds also have 25, but they play at Everton tonight. Our friends at Fitstairs now have Arsenal at 4-11 on for the title, so that's better quid win 36p now. Manchester City are 29-10, which is a very awkward number, but means better quid win £2.90, and Villa have come all the way into 14-1. If you like those odds, or if you want more odds and you're over 18, visit fitstairs.com, but please gamble responsibly. Strange events in Spain, where Real Madrid briefly went to the top of La Liga after they ended the resistance of Villarreal, beating them 2-0 in their own place with both goals from Kylian Mbappe. Would Barca buckle? No, sir or madam, they would not. They beat Oviedo 3-0 at the Camp Spotify, but it was actually a rather wet Camp Spotify, according to videos on social media that showed water pouring through the roof into the press box. That's a bit awkward. On Friday, we suggested that Bayern Munich were about to go 14 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga because they had Augsburg at home and their rivals can't be trusted not to drink their own bathwater. We were wrong. Bayern took the lead and then managed to lose 2-1, prompting a very pithy message on social media from Bayer Leverkusen about the list of unbeaten Bundesliga champions and how Bayern weren't about to get on it. Oh, and then Dortmund went and beat Union Berlin 3-0, so now I look really silly. Bayern's gap is just 8 points. Hoffenheim are still third, though. They beat Eintracht Frankfurt 3-1. I know, only 4 goals in an Eintracht Frankfurt game. Weird, but not as weird as Hoffenheim being third. What is going on there, Seb Stafford-Bloor?
Yeah, what an interesting story, because I don't think anybody saw this coming. Remember last season, Hoffenheim finished 15th. One place above the relegation playoff. And Christian Eiser was very lucky to be back, actually. There were no guarantees that they were going to stick with him into this season. He'd only arrived and taken over in November 2024 as part of the Sturm gratification of the club. Andreas Schecker, the managing director of sport, he came in from Austria too. And yeah, there was no indication at the end of that first year that there was any upswing imminent. And less so during the summer. Anton Stach was allowed to move to Leeds United. Very, very important player for them. Tom Bischoff, their most promising academy prospect. His contract expired and he moved to Bayern Munich. And in their place, Hoffenheim kind of marched in a group of, not nobodies, but fairly unexciting players. But they've proven absolutely outstanding. The pick of them is Wouter Berger. He joined from Stoke City for a couple of million euros. Albion Haidara, he came from Lugano, the centre-back. He's been absolutely excellent as well. And yeah, a couple of other interesting stories. Fiznik Aslani, he's actually a homegrown Hoffenheim player, but he was on loan in the Zweite Bundesliga. He's a Kosovan forward who's looked ever so exciting at the top level. And so is Tim Lemple, whose contract expired at Cologne and he moved on a free. And he's been very, very good too. And I think an important point here is also what's been underpinning this is a really high physical standard. So if you look at the intensive runs and sprints statistics for the Bundesliga as a whole, Hoffenheim are top of both categories. Now, they are not the sole product of hard work and effort. There's more to them than that, but they're absolutely horrible to play against. And certainly most recently, when they beat Eintracht Frankfurt 3-1, I think the biggest difference beyond the, you know, Eintracht being a bit fragile at the moment was just physical. They were just better conditioned. And yeah, Heiser's done a very, very good job to set a high standard, and it's really paying off.
That's Seb Stafford-Bloor from The Athletic. And keep an eye on that Hoffenheim manager. He's got next Bournemouth manager written all over him. Inter kicked off the Serie A games on Friday night, beating Pisa 6-2 with 6 different goalscorers, one of whom was obviously Lautaro Martinez. They are 5 points clear of Milan, who can only draw at third place Roma. And out of nowhere, Juventus flattened Napoli, beating them 3-0 and leaving them in fourth, 9 points off the leaders. And Paris Saint-Germain have finally retaken their place at the top of Ligue 1. They beat Auxerre 1-0 on Friday. They left it late, though. Bradley Barcola didn't make the breakthrough until the 79th minute. That put pressure on Lens, who folded in barking mad Marseille like a man dealt a 2 and a 7. It was Arsenal loanee Ethan Nwaneri who did the damage, well, one-third of the damage. He scored on his debut and earned the lavish praise of manager Roberto De Zerbi. Drama in Scotland, but when is there not drama in Scotland? Hearts fought back to draw 2-2 with Celtic, an 87th minute equaliser from Claudio Braga rescuing them there. Rangers beat Dundee 3-0, and that means Hearts lead the way, 4 points clear of Rangers, with Celtic in third, 2 points back. Wow. The gap at the top of the Championship is down to just 3 points. Middlesbrough tonked Preston 4-0 on Saturday. Coventry don't play until tonight when they go to Norwich. It's a really good day for Middlesbrough too, because third-placed Ipswich were beaten 3-1 by Sheffield United, so they've got a nice 5-point cushion now. Sadder stuff at the bottom, where Sheffield Wednesday lost at Bristol City and said farewell to talismanic captain and genuine leader Barry Bannon, who is set to leave for Millwall after 11 years, over 400 appearances, and the small matter of trying to hold the club together as it disintegrated over the summer. Alex Miller, writing in the Sheffield Star, said, "The wheels may have finally fallen off, but he's not done. He'll get one last shot at the promotion he missed out on, and he'll return to Hillsborough soon in a deeper shade of blue. He'll get a goodbye, if not the one he and we might have dreamed of. Fitting? Well, a decade of Wednesday is seldom perfect, after all. But besides, one rather suspects he'll get another crack at it all again, next time in a tracksuit. Wouldn't that be something?" Some other news, Leicester City have sacked their manager Marti Cifuentes after losing 2-1 at home to Oxford. Troubled times for Leicester indeed. They might still be facing a 9-point deduction, and that would put them in a relegation battle. And finally, the Colchester Gazette reports that former Brazil international Alex Pato is in talks to buy Colchester United. I'll tell you more about that, but the Colchester Gazette's website has so many pop-ups that it made my laptop go funny. But apparently he was in town for the victory over Fleetwood this weekend. Rumours that Juan Román Riquelme is preparing to swoop for Southend United are, alas, unconfirmed. On television tonight, you've got Verona Udinese on DAZN. Norwich Coventry is on Sky. So too is Everton Leeds, of course. And if you don't fancy that, on Premier Sports 1, you can watch Girona against Getafe. And on Tuesday, there's absolutely stacks of League 1 and League 2 football on Sky Sports Plus. I would probably go for Lincoln City against Bradford City, because Lincoln have been incredible this season. If you do have DAZN, and I do not, you'll be able to watch Rochdale versus Southend. So if you have got it, can you just call me and just give me a few updates every now and then? Thank you. That was Track FC. It was football fast, no faff, and it's here thrice a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.